And tonight we start a series on Friday, a series on the prayer of affirmation. Now, the reason we're doing this series on the prayer of affirmations is that affirmations is a fundamental tool in spiritual warfare. I frankly don't see how anybody can walk victoriously in life if they're not experts in both the prayer of faith and the prayer of affirmations. And as I look back over my years as a believer, my experience with others, my knowledge of others, my reading of what's written by others, I can see the truth of that. So we all know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, faith is a necessary condition to receive every blessing from God, including healing, including deliverance, including having your needs met. But it is a necessary condition, not the only condition. So to build a 30-story building, you need the first floor, but you also need the floors above the first floor to get up to 30 stories. Faith is a foundation for receiving from God. And without faith, Hebrews 11:6 tells us it is impossible to please God. But once we pray for almost everybody except very new believers, there is a period of waiting between the time we pray, between the time we say amen, and the time that we say there is the manifestation. Now, during this period of time, one of the main tools you use, one of the main prayers you use is the prayer of affirmations. There is an expression that we've heard, which I really like, which is Christians should never be down. Christians should either be up or getting up. Christians should be up or getting up. A righteous person falls many times, but the Lord raises them back up. So Christians should always be up, or Christians should be getting up. In the same way, a Christian should always be walking in health as measured by physical parameters such as doctor's tests, energy, all the various things that can tell you a person is walking in health. A Christian should be walking in health as measured physically, or a Christian should be walking in health by faith. A Christian should see themselves healed and whole, and speak and act as if they are healed and whole, until they are healed and whole, until they have the manifestation in the natural as measured by some natural test. Of the two measurements, of the two ways of looking at it, Christians should be healthy, healed, and whole according to the Word of God. Christians should live by faith. Galatians 3 verse 11 says, the just shall live by faith. Christian should live by faith in terms of their health, healing, and wholeness. And that's much more important and much more powerful than living by health based on the doctor's measurements. Because we've all known situations where the doctor's measurements were wrong. We've all known situations where people were looking wonderful, healthy, and everything, and a few days later, they died. So the measurements in the natural are not to be relied upon. But the Word of God never changes. The Word of God never fails. So, when we rely on the Word of God, we will never fail. We need to develop this mindset that says, if I were to take some medical measurements, I'm healthy, healed, and whole. I feel it. I look it. My wife just ran the fastest time of her life just a couple weeks ago. I mean, that's pretty awesome. You know, she's a little bit past 35. Okay? And she ran the fastest time of her life a couple weeks ago. That's pretty awesome. That's wonderful to have all the tests telling you you're healthy, healed, and whole. But more important than that is for you not to need them. More important than that is for you to say, look at the Bible and says, the Bible says, I was healed by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago when he took those stripes on his back. My healing was paid for. It belonged to me. Therefore, I call myself healed. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. No, we have to make a choice. Every person has to make this choice. Sooner or later, every Christian, actually every person. Sooner or later, every person has to rely on Jesus or not. If you practice and learn to rely on the Word of God and trust the Word of God now, it will be a lot easier than in a year, 5 years, some years out. It is better when you choose to rely on the Word of God, where the important word is choose. You choose it. As opposed to being backed into a corner where the doctor says, this person is going to die, and all they got left is the Word of God. See, a lot of people turn to the Word of God when they have no other choices. In a sense, that's kind of insulting to God. People say, you know, Lord, take me home. You know, I can't take it here anymore. In other words, the pain is so terrible. Conditions are so terrible that we ought to go to heaven. Wow. You know, how would you like somebody that says, can I come spend a few days at your house because everywhere I go is just terrible. It's like a garbage dump everywhere I go. At least your house is better than a garbage dump. How would you feel? Would you want to welcome the person to your home with open arms? Maybe you would take them in, but there's a nicer way of asking. And unfortunately, that's the way people live. People don't get so intimate with God that the desire to go to heaven overwhelms the desire to stay on earth. Very few people get there. But that's where we all should desire to go. A wise man said, we should live our life such that the transition to heaven is hardly noticeable. My days are built, 99% of my days are built around God. I'm trying to ensure that 100% of my day is built around the fact that I'm doing something God tells me to do. I haven't got there, but I'm trying. Now, when your entire day is built around God, what difference does it make whether you do it here or you do it in heaven? So, Christians should always be up or getting up. Christians should always be healthy in the natural or healthy by faith. Christians should never see themselves as being sick. So, let's take a look at this handout. That's the reason why we're doing this series. You know, the big challenge, I think, with teaching the prayer of faith and the prayer of affirmations is that mentally they're very simple to understand. So everybody who hears them once understand it. They understand it in their heads. But the transition from understanding in your head to in your heart is a vast, vast difference. You cannot understand it in your heart by studying it more and more in your head. The only way to understand the prayer of faith in your heart, the only way to understand the prayer of affirmation in your heart is to live it. The just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11. The only way to walk by the prayer of faith, the only way to walk by the prayer of affirmation is to walk by faith, not by sight. And your mind is a repository of sights. The five senses end up being translated in your mind. So you can never understand the prayer of faith in your mind. You can never understand the prayer of affirmation in your mind. That's why the great Kenneth Hagin, you know, after a while, of course, he quit teaching at the Rainbow Bible College, and he'd go back as a guest speaker once in a while. And they're always excited when the great man who founded Rainbow Bible College would come along to teach. And he'd always teach his first basic teaching, the prayer of faith, Mark 11:24. And so one day, one student got really brave and said, Brother Hagin, why are you always teaching us Mark 11:24? When are you going to stop? He says, I'm going to stop when you get it. But the only way you can get it is to act on it. If you've never acted on faith on Mark 11:24, if you've never acted on faith on the prayer of affirmations, there's nothing in your heart. It's all in your head. What do I mean by acting on faith? A very simple example of acting on faith. You pray Mark 11:24, there's a headache challenge you. And you pray Mark 11:24 and you say, Lord, I ask you to take away this headache. That's a lower level of moving into healing, but we'll take that example because people do that. Lord, I ask you to remove this pain. And the pain is still there. No, you got a choice. You can believe the prayer did not work and run off and take some Excedrin. Do they still make Excedrin? Okay. Beer, whatever they make nowadays, I don't know. You run off and take it. Or you can say, well, I believe I've been healed. So thank you, Lord. I believe that you remove the pain, even though your head is still throbbing. You say, Lord, I thank you that you've answered my prayer and the pain is gone. In the name of Jesus, that pain is gone. Thank you, Lord, the pain is gone. I know the pain is gone because I ask God, and when I ask God, God answers my prayer. Because Matthew 7:11 says, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you good things? When? When you ask. When you ask. Daniel 10. Okay? Daniel 10. Daniel prayed to God and asked for revelation. It took 21 days. That's in Daniel 10, and I'm going to focus on verse 12. The story starts in verse 1. In verse 12, it took 21 days for the angel to come with the answer. And the angel said, Daniel, on the day you prayed to God, God answered your prayer. I was sent with the answer. But it took 21 days for me to fight through the prince of the ear, the prince of Persia, to get here. 21 days. But the prayer was answered. Now, if during that time Daniel had gone off and said, well, forget this, I'm going to take an Excedrin and go to bed, he would never have gotten his answer. So that's a simple example of walking by faith. A simple example of acting on the word. A simple example of understanding the prayer of faith. So here we have an introduction, the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith leads into the prayer of affirmation. Even if you don't directly pray the prayer of faith, you are getting into it through the faith that's demonstrated in the prayer of faith. So the Mark 11:24 is the prayer of faith. It says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So there are three conditions to receiving something from God based on the prayer of faith. Three conditions. Condition number one is you must desire it. Number two is you must pray for it. And three is you must believe that you receive them. At the point in time when you pray, you must believe that God at that point has answered the prayer. And I know this fancy game about God always answers prayers. Sometimes he says yes, and sometimes he says no. That's not in the scripture. That's based on people's experience. The scripture says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you should have them. That's what the scripture said. So, the key is to believe that you receive. What cancels most prayers of faith is that they pray and then in the natural, they don't see the results for a while. And because they don't see the results for a while, they give up. And sometimes what they see is circumstances changing in such a way that it contradicts what they're looking for. Like you pray that there be no rain. And when you're going to work and you open the front door and it's pouring rain. And you say, well, it's pouring rain. My prayer wasn't answered. Or you open the door and it's cloudy all over and the newscaster says it's going to rain. This is an even better example. So you go back inside and get your umbrella. So I guess the newscasters were right and God didn't answer my prayer. But you have to go to the point where you don't care what the newscasters say. You don't care what the skies say in the clouds because you've prayed that there'd be no rain waiting your new car. Because if you're praying for no rain, there's a reason. Your reason is you bought a new car and you don't want it wet. Or maybe you lost the convertible part in your new car, it won't close, and you don't want any rain because you have to go take it to the mechanic after work. That's a good reason. an example I mentioned here recently where we had to take all the musical instruments for a evangelistic meeting at the Shrine Auditorium, and it was raining cats and dogs, and we had prayed that no water, no rain would touch our equipment. And it's time to move it to the Shrine Auditorium, and the man who was helping me, he looked at me and said, what do we do? Because it's raining cats and dogs. And everything is loaded in this vehicle in a garage. I said, what we do is we open the door and drive out the garage. And this vehicle had no cover on the back. It's a truck with no cover on the back. He looked at me and said, okay. So I said, open the door. He opened the door and we drove out. And as soon as we drove out, the rain stopped where we were. We drove from Hollywood to the Shrine Auditorium. And everywhere we went, there was rain to the right and rain to the left, waters flowing on the street, rain ahead, rain behind, and not one drop hit our equipment. Not one drop. Now, if we had not taken that step in faith, we would not have had the equipment there for the service. You'd have had an evangelistic meeting without any praise and worship. So you must believe you receive regardless of circumstances. And it takes practice. And God will help you to practice. In the beginning, you won't be faced with something that is challenging as taking thousands of dollars of equipment out into rain. But you may have to take yourself out into it. You may have to step out into the rain and believe that as soon as you step out, it will stop. What if Moses had said, I'm not going to put my new shoes I just bought on my socks and put them in the water? The Red Sea wouldn't have parted. You've got to always take that first step. Elijah, they came to Elijah and said, you know, we borrowed an axe. The prophets came and we borrowed an axe and we were building this place and it fell into the river and we can't find it. And they all, you know, bent on the ship. Because in those days, you couldn't go to Sears and buy one. So the man of God came and looked and it's down there. And he felt led by God. He took a stick and dropped it in the water and the axe floated upward. Imagine, a metal axe floated upwards. Now, what does dropping a stick in the water have to do with an axe floating upwards? And the answer is nothing. But you had to do something. Faith requires that you always do something. Okay? So, number one is you must believe you receive. If then you must do something, you need a faith action plan. We call it a faith action plan. What are you going to do to show that your faith is alive and real? James 2:17 and other places in James 2 says, faith without works is dead. If you pray for something, regardless of what it is, and there's no action, it's dead. So you can cancel your prayers by taking contradictory action. You can cancel your prayers by saying words that contradict it. You can cancel your prayers by agreeing with people who are disagreeing with the prayer. You can cancel your prayers by agreeing with the circumstances, which are contradictory. And you can cancel your prayers by doing nothing. Yes, when you're a baby believer, or the first time you're learning this, first time or two, maybe you don't have to do anything. But that doesn't last very long. Very shortly, you have to do something. So the first thing, it's like when my wife and I get money, the first thing we think of is, what are we going to do with the tithe? It's the first thing. Second thing I think of is, who can I bless with some of this? And the third thing I think is, honey, here's the rest of the money. You know, I need a lot of money for the ministry and for the church. For myself, God supplies all my need. And money is that. Money is just, it's a tool which doesn't impress me very much. But I do need lots of money for the church and for the ministry. We have some absolutely important things to do for God over the next few years. Absolutely important. Not important for us. And four, important for God, important for Jesus, important for the return of Jesus, and important for the people who learn about it. So understand, the first thing you do when you pray and you say amen is, what is my faith action plan? Now ask yourself, have you been doing that? You pray, then do you say, what do I do as my faith action plan? I've got people that I, for years, literally years, I've been trying to say to them, get a faith action plan. and they haven't got one yet. If you believe that you receive, you must speak and act on that belief. So if you prayed and you believe it's done, then Hebrews 10:23 says, do not forsake the profession of your faith. What is your faith? My faith is I prayed that the pain would leave my body, and I believe that God has answered my prayers, the pain is gone. And somebody says, yes, but if you touch yourself there, it hurts. So God didn't answer your prayers. No. There are many ways of looking at that. When you pray, God answers your prayer. That's a fact of life. When God answers your prayers, the devil tries to block it. We just said that in Daniel. That's the fact of life. Jesus came that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. The devil comes to block all those abundance. Now, what's the purpose of the faith action plan? A major purpose of the faith action plan is for you to go into spiritual warfare against the devil. The devil is trying to keep you from receiving your manifestation. He can't keep you from receiving your healing. Your healing was paid for 2,000 years ago. But he's trying to prevent you from getting the manifestation. You are the healed of the Lord. You're not a sickie trying to get health. You're the healed of the Lord. And you're trying to prevent the thief from stealing the manifestation. That's a mindset we all need to have. We're not looking for healing. Healing belongs to us. Our salvation package includes healing. The same sacrifice of Jesus Christ paid for your health and paid for your salvation. If you don't doubt your salvation, you shouldn't doubt that you've been healed. The problem is the devil is trying to block it. And the more time you give up, is the easier it gets for him the next time. Nothing succeeds like success. And probably nothing creates failure more than failure. When I first got saved, I knew I was saved. And I said, okay, God, thank you for saving me. Now, because you're real and because I was going to hell and you saved me, I'll do anything you say. That's it. The question is, what does he want me to do? Well, you're not going to hear the voice of God clearly inside your heart and get specific instructions if you're not doing the general instructions. I mean, it's like you go to work for a company. You go to work for the company, and the guy says, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sit here today and file all these things. And so you look at all these boxes to be filed, and all these people are doing this interesting stuff. And this one is working with all this fancy stuff on the computer, and you like computers, and you're a computer whiz. And so you watch them all day long. Next day, the boss comes in and says, boss, can I work on this computer over here? And the boss says, did you finish all the stuff I gave yesterday? No, I didn't start it. I got so busy watching the stuff, I didn't do it. What is the probability you're going to work on those computers? Not very high. It's the same thing with God. If you don't do the general stuff, it's going to be difficult hearing the voice of God in here. I get very skeptical of people tell me, the Holy Spirit is telling me to do this and the Holy Spirit is telling me to do that, when they're not living by the Bible. No, I don't doubt that they're hearing the Spirit. This question is, which Spirit? Right? No. When we do the general rules, then they give us specific. So, I said, Lord, I do anything you say. What are you saying? And what I kind of heard was the Bible. The people who got me saved would pray to me and told me the Bible was the Word of God. I didn't believe it. Before that, I believed anybody who read the Bible was a bit soft in the head. But I said, okay, they got me saved. They know more than I do. And when I pray, I'm kind of feeling I should read the Bible. So I got the Bible, and I started flipping through it. Flipping through this whole big Bible, which I'd never looked at before. And what did I come upon? Mark 11:24. And I said, Lord, I'm going to test this Bible. Let me find a testable scripture. And I find Mark 11:24. And I said, I can test that. So I took 30 days off of my work and my business. And I said, for 30 days, every slightest opportunity I get to test Mark 11:24, I'm going to test it. And if it fails one time in 30 days, I will not believe the Bible is the Word of God. And I started doing it. As I went through my days, I did things every opportunity. I wasn't trying to get $10 million or a new Porsche or something. I didn't care about that. I cared about, is this the Word of God? And prayers got answered in the beginning very fast, and then later it took a while. And finally, one day, I am taking care of a lady. And I am making some food for her, and I need some salt. And I know she wants the salt. And I said, no big deal. I'm in a house. I don't know the house. But I used Mark 11:24, and I asked her some salt. Which I thought was a piece of cake. I mean, you're in a kitchen in a large house, almost a mansion. Hey, it's a piece of cake. This is an easy one. I started to look for salt. I could not find salt in this house. I kept looking, and I looked. I looked in every single part of that kitchen and the pantry, and I could not find any salt. I looked in the refrigerator. I looked outside around the kitchen. I could find no salt. So finally, I got a ladder, and I went up way up top and started looking way up top. And in one cupboard, stuck in a crack, was one of those little salt things they give you, like when you go to McDonald's or someplace. Stuck in the crack. I took it on and said, thank you, Lord, I got my salt. I must have spent an hour or longer, maybe 2 hours, looking for the salt. Now, I want you to understand what was happening. Listen carefully. I said, God, if it didn't work once, I will toss this in the trash. So what was at stake for me was the fact that this is the Word of God and it can't be broken. Jesus said the Scriptures cannot be broken. So was it worth 2 hours of my life or 1 hour of my life? It was. Because otherwise, this would have gone into the trash. And I would start over saying, okay, I believe in God, but that's all I believe is God and Jesus. At that time, I didn't even believe in the Holy Spirit. The only spirit I knew were duppies. That's the Jamaican word for a spirit of somebody who's departed, okay? No, I want you to take that and apply it to yourself. See? I'm saying that based on Mark 11:24, there must be salt around someplace. I mean, I didn't care if Brinks drove up in their thing and said, here's some salt. That's okay. I don't care where the salt comes from, but I'm going to find salt. No, every time you take the Bible and you pray, and then you give up in the prayer, you're saying, I don't think it works. That's a failure. And failure breeds failure. That's why I'm teaching a series on affirmations. And that's why sometime this year I'm going to teach in faith again. Because, not because you have challenges now. Listen to me carefully. It's not because you have challenges now. If you got a headache, you can take an aspirin. If the aspirin doesn't work, you can go to the doctor and get a shot. You can go to the doctor and have surgery. You can take something to calm down the demons in you. Because all the challenges, all the people around face today, you can solve them. Pretty much. At least the ones that really interfere with your life. But I'm trying to tell you, the days are coming when you can't do that. And the only way you can cope in those days is to practice now. Am I saying it's easy? I'm not telling you it's easy. I remember a story about my wife was challenged with her back and she's crawling across the floor to get her clothes, to put her clothes on to go lead a seminar. And she's in so much pain, she's kind of crawling across the floor. This is before we were married. I remember walking in faith where I was so weak from a blow to the head. And I was moving boxes of paper. You know how heavy those dudes are? Let me tell you. When I was walking in full natural health, they were heavy. When I was so weak that I could hardly walk, they were immensely heavy. And I took a whole, I don't know how many, it's like 60 boxes and brought them inside. One by one. There are times when I bring a box and I stop because I think I'm going to pass out. But the point of fact is, no, I didn't get there the first time. It took me years of growing, practicing on the small things, so I was ready when the big ones came. And that's what God wants you all to do, is practice on the small things. No, I'm not picking on any single person. Please understand. I'm not picking on you. I'm not picking on you because I'm trying to bully you or prod you. I'm trying to tell you what the values that are involved in here. I'm trying to say each of you need to understand how to live by faith, executing the prayer of faith and the prayer of affirmation. If you don't, I don't know how to put it nicely without speaking curses on you. You have to. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You cannot go into the future without God. You don't want to go into the future without God. So you must make it a priority to practice your faith. Look for opportunities to practice it. And when things aren't working, then you get help. Thank God you can come to me and the team here and get some instructions. I had nobody to go to. Nobody to go to on any of the challenges I faced over the last 30-something years. No, after I got married, you know, my wife is my prayer partner. Okay? But I'm not going to her for instructions. I'm going to her for prayer agreement, which is the difference. Or do I not mute all? So understand, here is the key. When you pray, you believe you receive. It's done. God has done it. Why? Because you believe the Bible. Because that's what the Bible says, Matthew 7:11. Therefore, if it's not working, either the devil is winning or you're not resisting, because the problem is not God. You got to get into the position and understand the problem is not God. The problem is me not resisting the devil. Because James 4:7 says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he flee. If he's not fleeing, the word of God, which cannot be broken, says you're not submitted or you're not resisting. No, as you mature in these things, which many of you are, the manifestations can take a long time. But the manifestation shouldn't be impacting your life. If it's impacting your life with pain, if it's impacting your life with inability to do what God wants you to do, then God wants the manifestation right away. In fact, God wants all the manifestation right away, but sometimes we're slow in learning what challenges how we're opposing ourselves. The Bible says we are the ones that's opposing ourselves. God has paid for everything that you and I need for life and godliness. If it's not there, it's because you are opposing yourself. You oppose yourself and you let the devil eat your lunch. This is true of me. It's true for all of us. So, one first opposition is that people don't believe it they receive when they pray. Second one is they believe they receive, but it's in their mind, not in their heart. Because if it was in their heart and they believe it's done, they would start saying and doing something automatically. They wouldn't need for people to teach them about a faith action plan. You would automatically be doing something if you believe it's healed. If you're lying in bed and you're too challenged to do something else, and you pray and you believe you're healed, the logical thing is get out of the bed. Which, by the way, so Kenneth Hagin Sr. learned this stuff. So if you believe that you receive, you must speak and act on it. Therefore, once you hear amen, once you say amen, you must determine what words will you speak and what actions will you do because you believe you've received. If you're not doing that, you have no faith action plan. You have no faith in your heart. It's just mental assent. You follow me? Mental assent is, I agree the Bible says so, but I'm not living it in my heart. There's no faith in my heart, it's just agreement in my head. No, the prayer of affirmation kicks in at this point in time. You believe you've been healed. Titus 3:8, part A says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that you affirm constantly. So, you prayed for healing, you believe you've been healed, therefore you affirm, you declare constantly, 1 Peter 2:24, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. It's the faithful saying. You declare it, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. How long? Until you get your healing, the healing manifestation. In healing school, and maybe we do people a disservice, in healing school, we get people healed with the manifestation, with affirmations, typically 10 affirmations. Many, once they're anointed with heart, they get their manifestation and don't even need the affirmations. That's why one time, well, more than once, Pastor Matthew, when the person said, well, the pain is still there, but it's less, Pastor Matthew said, good! Well, it's not good that the pain is still there. It's good. Now we can go on to the next step to teach you something else. And typically, we get them within 10 affirmations. 20 in healing school is a long time. And I think maybe we've done a disservice to people thinking that 20 is a lot. The first time I got my healing manifestation from a major challenge, I had been on medications, I think, 4 times a day. I had had a challenge and had been to many doctors and nobody could heal it. But eventually they found a medication, and if I took it 4 times a day, I could function. In fact, I functioned pretty good. So well that I took it for about 4 or 5 years and totally forgot that I had this challenge. Until after I got saved and I knew I'd been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and I found myself about to pop a pill. I think, what am I doing? And I said, hey, no more. And I battled through that challenge. All the symptoms hit me. Took 5 days of fasting and affirmations. Later on, I computed how many affirmations I did. 25,000 affirmations in 5 days. 25,000. And out of that, I got my total health and healing. Challenges have come since then, but I've been able to fight them off all in a short time. Very rarely does one stay a long time. The one I mentioned about the pain, I disobeyed God for 2 years straight. 2 years straight. And after 2 years straight, then I committed 2 sins on top of that. 2 specific sins after 2 years of disobedience. I mean, I knew I was disobedient. God says, do this, do this, do this. And for 2 years, I said, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. And for 2 years, I did not do it. Then I committed 2 sins, and the combination of all 3 opened the door, and the devil clobbered me and tried to kill me. And I came out of that, and took a while to get back my the manifestation of health. I wanted to know more about God's revelations. So I took off 6 days and went to the mountains. And I affirmed for 6 days Ephesians chapter 1. All day long, I prayed Ephesians chapter 1. Drank water and prayed Ephesians chapter 1. And all that happened at the end of 6 days was I started bleeding tremendously from my nose. Bleeding tremendously from my nose. Took me, 25 years or more to understand why that happened. There's a particular demon that if people have it and it manifests, it almost always manifests with blood from the nose. Just forget you don't have it, okay? We're not going to go there, okay? The best thing is to assume that you don't have it. Stick around healing school and you'll learn more about it. Haven't taught it in healing school yet, but it's on the agenda. It's on the agenda. I got to keep some things back. Can't have the instructors learning everything in the first 5 years. Oh, my word. Thank you, Jesus. So this is a faithful saying, and these things I will let you affirm it constantly. So let's say you pray, Lord, there's a pain in my body. Thank you, Lord, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I received my healing. It was paid for on the cross 2,000 years ago. And I say in the name of Jesus, pain go. And I thank you, Lord, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And the pain is still there. So you affirm it. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And you keep doing it until it lives. Well, there are more things you can do, but right now I'm focusing on affirmations. You do it as long as it takes. You know, there's a time when I needed additional funds. wasn't coming in as fast as I would like. And so I took off, I forget, 5 or 6 days. And my goal was to affirm 18 hours a day, 50 minutes every hour, take a 10-minute break for 18 hours a day for, I guess, 6 days. And fast, of course. And the affirmation was, I have been made rich by the poverty of Jesus. Now, since that prayer, our finances have jumped a quantum level. At that point in time, Sierra and I were doing, if I'm not mistaken, at that point in time, we were doing either all the work or most of the work, if I can remember correctly, okay? We may have had some help, I can't exactly remember where. Today, we have a lot of people helping us. A lot of people. There's a lot of work going into this ministry, and we have a lot, a big, wonderful staff that helps us do some fantastic things. But my goal was to do 18,000 affirmations a day. I never met the goal. But I did do 15,000 a day. I did 15,000 a day for 6 days. That's 90,000 affirmations. No, I grant you, I've been doing affirmations for a long, long time. And I don't have to do this very often. Most of the time when a challenge comes, I can say 2 or 3 affirmations and it leaves. But that's because I've grown through the process and I've paid my dues. But just because I've grown through the process and paid my dues and can handle most challenges that come, doesn't mean that I want to go to a higher level. So I want to go to a higher level now in a certain area of my life. And so I'm taking off 6 days. So starting after service on Sunday, I will not be available to anybody until service Sunday morning. So if you need anything that you'd normally get from me, you call Pastor Matthew or you call Pastor Sarah. And I'm asking both of them to make themselves more or less available. I mean, don't call them at 3 in the morning to ask them what time is service tomorrow. Okay? Now, what am I going to do in those 6 days? Well, I'll tell you how I backed into it. There's something that I'm working on. And at a certain point, I came to the desire in my heart. I just had that desire that I was going to do 250,000 affirmations worth. 250,000. Well, because of my schedule, I blew it. Time went by, and I could not get in 250,000 affirmations. So I'm taking 6 days, and I'm going to target 90,000 in 6 days, which I've done before. It's doable. And that plus what I've done before will put me somewhere up there. How high up there, I don't exactly know where. Maybe 150,000, maybe 200,000. That's what I'm doing. Because the Word of God never fails. Because when you speak the Word of God, you're doing many things. There are 40 wonderful spiritual things that happens when you speak the Word of God. But here are 2 of them, which are not on the list of 40. One is, you're declaring the truth of God's Word. The truth of God's Word is, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. The truth of God's word is God supplies all my need according to his riches by Christ Jesus. So you're either declaring the truth of God's word on something that's been done in the past, or you are prophesying something in the future. So you're declaring something that has already occurred in the past, or declaring something that's going to happen in the future. Your words are creating the future, or pulling what you need out of the past. And that's the attitude I would love to see each of you have. That as you speak it out, you are declaring God's word and pulling what's been done in the past into the present for yourself. Or you're declaring, decreeing, and bringing into being something in the future. You're changing the world to the way you want it, based on God's word. Now, is that worth 100,000 affirmations? Is that worth 200,000 affirmations for me? For me, it is. Each person has to decide for themselves. But I will tell you this. I forget the exact scripture, not one I use very often. But basically, Jesus said that the children of the world are wiser than the children of the kingdom. We are winding up the Olympics at this point in time. And there's a man who won 3 gold medals, just won another one. and he was expanding his training regimen. He says, every day, he's a skier. He says, every day I spend 3 hours in the gym. And the first thought might be, you're a skier, what are you doing in the gym? But of course, the jocks among us know what he's doing. Then he spends 4 hours skiing. Then he spends 2 more hours on what I call obstacle courses. 9 hours a day he spends trying to win a piece of metal. How many hours do we all spend every day achieving what Jesus Christ died for you so you can have it? Or do we just simply say, oh, that can't be true, and throw it aside? Or I've tried enough, I'm giving up. Man just won a gold medal in skating, in pairs, a man and a woman dancing together, pair dancing. I guess it's called pairs, it's not called ice dancing, okay? It's ice, the pairs dancing on the ice. Well, it's more than that. There's two types of it, okay? One is called ice dancing, one is called pairs dancing, okay? And you won a gold medal. Well, that's not so big. What's so special? He moved to, I think, Moscow, maybe it was Moscow, to get better training. But he had no money. So he lived under the building where the rink was for almost 2 years. And he lived on one free meal a day that they provide at the skating rink. He lived in a building for like 2 years, living on one free meal to get training to win a piece of metal. And we have the word of God that says you can do anything, you can have anything, and you can change anything. And we do 20 affirmations and think that's a lot. Part 3b, the prayer of affirmation. This is from the woman with the issue of blood. From the Amplified Bible in Mark 5:28. She kept saying, if I only touch the hem of his garment, I shall be restored to health. Now, why in the world would she say that? We have no idea. Nobody ever preached that in those days. No, of course, you can get theological and give some theological reasons why she wanted to do that. But the point of fact is nobody ever taught her that. She, in her heart, determined, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. Now, around the hem of his garment is the word of God. So she's actually touching the word of God. And she's determined, if I can do that, I shall be healed. And she kept saying it. The Amplified Bible says she kept saying it. And she kept saying it. And then when she touched it, guess what happened? She got healed. Then others heard the story. And they copied her and went and touched his garment. And Mark 6:56 says, everyone that copied her and touched the garment, they got healed also. God is no respecter of persons. I got my healing through affirmations. Thousands have got their healing through affirmations. So can you. Affirmations for warfare. The time between the amen of the prayer and the appearance of the manifestation is called standing in faith. Standing in faith. That's described in Ephesians 6, verses 13 to 14. The armor of God. Having done all to stand therefore wearing the entire armor. But standing is not, okay, I've done everything, I'm just going to be lackadaisical. No, the word stand there, it means a military stance. You ever seen, a martial arts guy go into this martial arts position? It's a military stance. You're ready for action from any side. Okay? Side, front, back, any side. You're ready for action. It's a military stance. And that's what standing in faith is about. It's being ready for any action from the enemy. And when you are in a military stance, ready for a battle, you want to have your weapon. So what is the weapon that we have in the armor of God? The sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:17. Okay, the sword of the Spirit. There's only one weapon. It's the sword of the Spirit. Now, why would you ever want to go to battle against in a duel? And the other guy whips out his sword, and you're standing there looking at him. You've got to pull your own sword. The devil's attacking you. Whip out your sword. How do you use the sword of the Spirit? The same question is, how do you use the word of God? You speak it. And that's what affirmation does. It's speaking the word of God in warfare. That's what the prayer of affirmation is. It's spiritual warfare speaking the word of God. You're saying what God is saying about the situation. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. If you keep saying you're going to live, you will. If you keep agreeing with the doctor that you're going to die, you'll die. I've said before many times, when I come into situations where people are with life and death according to the doctors, I don't listen to what the doctors are saying. I don't care to who's what the doctors are saying. What I want to hear is what the patient is saying. Because if the patient is speaking the word of God, they will live. If they're not, they'll die. Let me tell you, I've been doing this a long time, over 30 years. If they speak the word of God, they will live. If they speak what the doctor said, they will die. So you use the word by speaking affirmations. By speaking affirmations, okay? Okay. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke 18. And I want to read you a story. Luke 18. This is a story you all know. It's a story of the unjust judge, where there are many people who have said the unjust judge is God. I don't know how they could in their heart really equate an unjust judge to God, but they do that. They say, see, you got to barrage God and keep asking God over and over for what you want. That's not what it's talking about at all. Okay? The unjust judge is the devil. And you cannot keep going after him. So, Luke 18, let's start in verse 1. And Jesus spoke a parable saying, to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. Men should always pray and not faint, not give up. People should always pray and never give up. That's what he's saying. Pray, pray, pray. Don't give up. But understand, only a small part of prayer is pointed to God. See, most prayer is not pointed to God. Most prayer is pointed towards spiritual warfare or yourself. God says, if you ask me, I give it to you. And then he gives us all these things. Then he says, you go heal the sick. You go cast out devils. You go do all these things. You preach, teach, and heal. You don't have to ask him. He's told you to go do it. So most prayers have to do with getting the job done. In the prayer of faith, you're actually asking God for something. But most prayers have to do with the warfare of manifesting it. So Jesus said in verse 2, there was in a city a judge who did not fear God nor regarded man. Does that sound more like the devil, not God? I mean, it doesn't fear God, so it can't be God. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I'll avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she gets me tired, she wears me down. That's the attitude you must take with the devil. Devil, you bug me, I'm going to make you so sorry you bug me, you'll think twice next time before you come back and tread. And how do you make him think twice? You keep hitting him with the sword of the Spirit. With the sword of the Spirit. Turn up your praise and worship music in his ear. Receive communion and laugh at him. You do all the godly things you know to do, what we call the secondary methods of healing. But right now I'm focusing on one, the prayer of affirmation. And you keep stabbing him with the sword until he gives up and goes away. So, Jesus is saying, always pray and don't give up. That's the primary teaching for tonight. Now, we're going to pick up the series, and I know many of you are going to say, I know this stuff already. Let me tell you, you don't want to miss the series. If you miss the series in about 5 or 6 years, don't come back and say, Pastor, you were right and I was wrong. I already know it. Okay? Okay. So, basic affirmations. By basic, I mean the basic to ABC. I mean every ABC should be doing these 17 affirmations on a regular basis. Maybe not all 17 every day. You know, there's a limit to how many hours in a day. But we should know them and we should be using them as appropriate. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, number one. Every ABC should be saying that every single day. Every single day you should say that. That's called a general affirmation. I have been healed includes everything in your body. Whenever you get challenged, you want to use a general affirmation and a specific. The specific would be, my hips have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So one is general and one is specific. The specific is usually based on where the challenge is or where the doctor says the challenge is. But many times the doctors have proven to be wrong. That's why we always use a general. So you always have the general and you use specific as you need them. Now, the person's hips, your organs, your cells have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Your blood sugar is not an organ. It's a chemical you put in your body. Your chemicals haven't been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So you don't say, my chemicals have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. You don't say, my blood sugar has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. You don't say, my water level has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My alcoholic content has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Because he didn't die for these things. He died for you. What you can say is, in the name of Jesus, my blood sugar measurement is normal. In the name of Jesus, my water level is normal. Okay? In the name of Jesus, my salt levels are normal. If you know what normal is from the doctor, you can quote it. If you're higher than normal or lower, then you can, let's pick an example. Let's say your pulse rate. That's not a good example. Let's say your blood pressure. Let's say the top measurement of your blood pressure should be 110. And let's say it's 130. And we see examples of this all the time. You start calling it from 130 down to maybe 125. Then when it gets to 125, you lower it to say 120. Then maybe 115, and finally 110. You take it down gradually. Okay? You take it down gradually. As just normal maintenance, you can affirm, in the name of Jesus, my blood pressure is 110 over 80. Okay. Last time mine was checked was 110 over 70, but that was quite a few years ago. No, I was actually working, doing some work for a company, and they required everybody to get different tests, and one of the tests I had to take was blood pressure. It was 110 over 70, okay? No, you're doing that based on Mark 11:23. If you speak it, then you believe it, it will come to pass. Every word that you speak that you believe will come to pass, will come to pass. Every Christian needs to go to the point where every word they speak, they believe it will come to pass. And they only speak words they want to come to pass. No, sometimes it's not a sickness, disease. It's an infirmity. There's no sickness or disease. It may be weak, for example. For example, let's say all you do 8 hours a day is push a pencil. Maybe tapping a computer. Your arms may have gotten weak. So it's an infirmity. Because Jesus bore my infirmities, so my right arm, in the name of Jesus, my right arm is strong. Okay? There are times when you need to use infirmities as opposed to sickness and disease. That's from Mark 8, 16 and 17. My God supplies all my needs. Number 7. Every ABC should be affirming, number 1, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, and number 7, in the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. Every day, you should do that. I don't have time to teach on it, but every day you should do that. And every day you should do number 8. 1, 7, 8, everybody should do every day. 8 is, my God has made the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart pleasing to him. Notice, this is an affirmation. It's a declaration. It's based on a prayer. If you read Psalm 19:14, it's a prayer. May God it's a request. May God make the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart pleasing to him. So you pray it one time based on Mark 11:24. Father, in the name of Jesus, based on your words in Psalm 19:14, I'm asking you to make the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart pleasing to you. Then from then on, you do it as an affirmation. So there's 17 here that I believe every ABC needs to know and use them on a more or less regular basis. On the back, we have 31 more that you might find helpful. And this year, I'm going to add more. I'm going to organize them and add them so you can find them faster. Now, there are some books out that talk about affirmations. And they tell you which ones to do. Most of them have one major error. They tell you to say exactly what the Bible says. And that's a major error. Because in most cases, they're written as a prayer or in the future tense. And frankly, you're probably not doing good for yourself. You're doing bad for yourself by praying it the way it's written in the Bible. The Bible is telling you something that you need to appropriate for yourself. And if you put it in the future, you're putting it off. You need to put it in the past or the present. And you can't keep asking God the same thing. Every day say, you know, God, make the meditations of my heart pleasing to you. You ask him once, you believe it, and then you declare it. God has made the words of my mouth pleasing to him. That's an application of Mark 11, 24. Anybody not understand what I just said? Wave your hand at me. Again, most of the books that I've seen, with one exception, have these, I don't know what they call them, but they are affirmations. They have them exactly the way the Bible has them written. You got to check in and say, is this a prayer? If it's a prayer, you pray it once and you turn it into an affirmation. If it's written in the future, you pray it once and you declare it has been done for you already. Okay? There are a couple of exceptions that my God supplies all my need. That is an ongoing thing in the future. So you don't necessarily want to say, my God has supplied all my need. He did it once upon a time and he stopped. It's an ongoing thing. So that's one of the exceptions I can think of. But frankly, that's the only exception I can think of at the moment. Everything else you can put in the past. And definitely when it comes to healing, you want to put it in the past. Okay, we're not going to go over all these. You can read as well as I can, probably better. So you have a lot of affirmations there. So we will, over the period of the next couple of months, continue to teach in affirmations. I don't guarantee they'll be sequential, but the most teaching we will do on Fridays over the next few months is looking at affirmation in great detail from different directions. Tonight is just, it's not even an introduction. It's just telling you what all the pieces are. Okay? Thank you all for your patience.